Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
What we're seeing right now are the beginnings of people realizing that the government has no idea, the medical experts have no idea what they're talking about. And I also think we're seeing a lot of sunken cost fallacy. A lot of people invested their entire lives for the last year into fear-mongering and COVID-19 and how big of a threat it was. And in the vaccines themselves, I mean, the government certainly invested a lot in the vaccines. And all evidence that I've seen points to the conclusion that they just don't work. I don't know if they're risky or if they're dangerous, and I don't really care. They don't seem to work from what I can tell.
I mean, how would you be able to tell? Because if you come down with COVID, unless you're elderly with serious medical issues, you're probably going to be fine. Well, in many cases, you won't even show any symptoms.
The whole point of a vaccine is that you won't come down with COVID once you're vaccinated against it, right?
Yeah, that's what a vaccine's supposed to do.
Right. But that's not what this one is doing. And we have evidence of this in California, a higher COVID rate found in some counties with a higher vaccination rate. But it's worse than that, because five other counties with lower vaccination rates have lower COVID-19 transmission rates. State workers and healthcare employees will now be required to show proof of vaccine. That is nothing to do with what the article is actually about. This comes as the highly contagious Delta variant is now dominant in the state.
And which state?
California, sorry. Okay. And COVID rates have skyrocketed in the month since California officially reopened, including breakthrough cases among vaccinated Californians.
Mm-hmm.
A new analysis finds several counties with above-average vaccination rates also have higher COVID case rates, while case rates are falling in counties with below-average vaccination rates. I would speculate that this is because where vaccination rates are lower, natural immunity from fighting off the virus is higher.
It's stronger, too.
Yes.
Right, the natural immunity.
Because
if you have natural immunity, you're less, as I understand it, less likely to get the variants, too.
What they're telling us is always changing. But I did once see a study from someone, I don't recall exactly who, some university, that the natural immunization is not only stronger, but it appears to be permanent. Whereas the vaccines, they're already talking about booster shots.
Of course they are.
Yeah, because they got to find a new way to make money.
Hell yeah. They knew they were going to be banking big time on this.
Yeah, they can't just vaccinate you once and then be done with it. No, they have to vaccinate you again and again.
Well, I mean, that's what the whole medical status, you know, whatever you want to call the normal medical system is all about. It's about getting you on pills for life, getting you on treatments for life.
There's a lot of people down there in the comments saying that they got vaccinated and they're not putting a mask back on. Under no circumstances will they put a mask back on. So
because that's the reason they got vaccinated, because they were told it would be their ticket out of this.
Yes. And now
they were lied to.
They were lied to, shockingly. The CDC issued new guidance today recommending indoor mask use in areas with high transmission rates after new data. Because the headline of this says with low vaccination rates, but now they're saying high transmission rates, when we were just talking about this observation in California where lower vaccination rates have lower transmission rates and higher vaccination rates have higher transmission rates.
Things that make you go,
Yeah, so these two things seem to be inversely proportional, at least to some degree, or not inversely, but you know, where vaccination rates go up, so do infection rates for some reason.
Unexpectedly, so.
It's very curious. Yeah. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said recent studies have shown that those vaccinated individuals who do become infected with COVID have just as much viral load as the unvaccinated, making it possible for them to spread the virus to others. So, vaccinated people can get the virus. It doesn't appear to affect how the virus affects them, and they can still spread the virus.
So the whole point of this was what exactly?
I don't know, man. I really can't figure out why anyone is still buying into it except just plain old sunken cost fallacy. It is not a welcomed piece of news that masking is going to be a part of people's lives who have already been vaccinated. Now remember, Vice President Kamala Harris was just saying, get vaccinated and we can take the masks off. This new data weighs heavily on me. This new guidance weighed heavily on me. And I just wanted to convey that this was not a decision that was taken lightly.
That's right. We take it very seriously when we destroy your freedoms.
Administration officials had been struggling in recent days with how to respond to the rising number of COVID infections and hospitalizations among those who are fully vaccinated, amid pressure from public health experts to put mask recommendations back in place. So at the same time as they're saying, hey, there's a rising number of COVID infections and hospitalization among people who are fully vaccinated, they turn around and say, oh, well, it's actually the unvaccinated people who are the problem.
Yeah, pay no attention to these fully vaccinated people in the hospital.
Yeah, pay no attention to us saying one thing and then immediately turning around and saying the exact opposite and acting like there's no conflict between these pieces of information whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Much of Biden's domestic agenda rides on moving the country past the pandemic and shifting the focus to other priorities, such as infrastructure and voting rights.
So I want to do a little bit of a rant. I think you guys will agree with what I'm saying. So everyone sort of listening is, you know, who's libertarian inclined. So I think there's a big correlation between diabetes and sort of overweight people in the United States and, unfortunately, bad coronavirus outcomes.
There's certainly a link between obesity and diabetes and bad COVID outcomes. I don't think anyone ever disputed that. I mean, that's one of the primary comorbidities that is causing people who become infected with COVID-19 to die.
Exactly. And the people who actually wind up in the hospital and people who were affected badly typically are either overweight, obese, or have diabetes or both. And the thing is, this country, the United States, has the highest rates of people with these conditions, and largely due to government policies. And I want to just list some of them to show just how bad it is. First of all,
let me also say that, you know, it only got worse during the pandemic as people weren't able to go to the gym. Some of them weren't able to go for walks. So obviously, and they didn't take down their caloric input or anything like that because they were doing less exercise. People are fatter now.
Companies like Tyson Foods, for instance, these are big political donors, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Well, my criticism of government comes from the left. So I criticize government for being in bed with the capitalists and enforcing all these things that otherwise would be for the public good. I'll give you a laundry list of things, and you tell me what you think. One of them you would agree. The government comes down and enforces the patent system, which creates artificial scarcity in these drugs. So the drugs could actually help people. And these very diabetics, 25% of the diabetics ration their insulin. They can't afford even basic insulin.
Right. Once again, the government using its regulatory control to make sure these companies that are manufacturing the insulin and the other drugs are able to make money hand over fist and have very limited, if no, competition. So, yeah, I agree with you. Patents need to be abolished, and so do all other forms of licensure.
So there you go. I would characterize, and many libertarians, like Ayn Rand-type libertarians, think that it's a form of capitalism to own ideas, to have private
ideas can't be owned. This virus came out, and, you know, if it wasn't for the fear-mongering, I have to reiterate again and again, I don't think anyone would have ever known it was happening. Because it's just, the bodies weren't piling up in the streets like they told us they were going to be. They told us 2 weeks, lockdown for 2 weeks, and we'll flatten the curve. And now it says, oh, we're never going to flatten the curve, is the message they're putting out now.
Right.
But then it was, get this vaccine, and all of this can go away. We can go back to normal, and then they throw that carrot out, and
from under you.
As soon as you go to get a little nibble off that carrot, they yank it further.
Yep.
They're just doing it over and over.
How many times will people fall for the same trick?
I don't know, man. But we're talking to Greg right now. It's frustrating to me to watch all of this play out. Greg, however, you contend that the issue here is really obesity and diabetes.
Well, I'm saying that the U.S. Government has presided over decades of worsening obesity and diabetes for the American citizen, and
they've
actually made it worse. They've subsidized the high fructose corn syrup. They've basically made sure that Americans are getting in all of this diet. And then on top of everything, they also enforce the patent system. So, like, when the South, for example, had slaves and people wouldn't live in such an area, it still goes on in that other area. So the question is, should you use force to end violence somewhere?
Here's what I think. You should use force yourself and or hire people to do it. But please don't force me against my will, possibly, to, you know, fund your what is essentially a mercenary operation. You know, if sure. you didn't have the state and you still wanted to force these people to your will, then you'd have to pay for it. You'd have to hire the mercs to go in there with whatever equipment that they would need to either kill or, you know, disable or injure the people that were doing that operation or torture them or whatever it is that you would want to do to try to make them behave in the way that you want to make them behave. And then my hands are off of it because you didn't tax me for it to support that operation.
But I'm going to condemn that operation as immoral.
Sure, but, you know, at least we're not having to pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, I would say it's more peaceful to give them a fine and have them deal with it economically.
What if they don't pay that fine?
That's the same thing.
What if they don't pay that fine, Greg?
If they don't pay that fine and they keep torturing the animals, I would say that they would pay a financial that you would go to their bank and you would garnish the money from there.
So initially, Coinbase had said, we do not support the Bitcoin Cash fork. We're just going to support Bitcoin. So tough.
Wow.
And there was enough outcry from the people who wanted wanted their Bitcoin Cash, which they feel like should belong to them because they gave the Bitcoin to Coinbase for safekeeping. So their argument is, hey, I paid for this Bitcoin. If now you've got a Bitcoin Cash because I had a Bitcoin, I should also get that Bitcoin Cash. And that's ultimately what this guy argued, except with Bitcoin Gold. With Bitcoin Cash, there was enough of a demand to where Coinbase couldn't just let it sit there. They couldn't just take it all for themselves, which is what they would have done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it is valuable. They're not just going to let it sit there. They know it's there.
And it was significantly more valuable then.
Yeah. So they ultimately reneged on their original, you know, promise to not do anything and said, all right, we're going to launch Bitcoin Cash on the Coinbase platform. And that was like but that was January. It literally took them 6 months, roughly, to make this decision.
And don't forget that, you know, they wanted to keep the Bitcoin Cash. The only reason they let people have it was because of public outcry, but they wanted to keep it. So if you want to talk about evil corporations and their attempt, Coinbase, Gemini, Kraken, to become the next system of banks, well, there you go right there. They're already as evil as the banks we have now.
So Coinbase didn't just like keep their mouths shut about Bitcoin Gold. They actually had a reason why they didn't support it. And it's interesting. I'll share that with you here.
Is it because it's trash?
Well, no. they have an even better reason. So Coinbase monitored and evaluated Bitcoin Gold's network. Because remember, this was the second fork of Bitcoin. Still fairly notable because it was the second one. Bitcoin Cash was the first. That's the most notable one. And this was the second one. Coinbase monitored and evaluated their network and informed their customers via its website, quote, at this time, Coinbase cannot support Bitcoin Gold because its developers have not made the code available to the public to review. This is a major security risk.
That is fascinating.
Further, in 2018, the Bitcoin Gold network was hacked by hackers who stole millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin Gold from trading platforms and individuals on the network. So in that case, Coinbase might have made the right move to say, we're not going to support this thing.
I would have to ask Coinbase, though, is their code open source?
Oh, hell no, it's not.
Then they can't be trusted.
Well, no,
as they literally just said, we can't verify the security. We can't trust in Bitcoin Gold because it's not open source. Oh, but we're also not open source.
Apply
but you can
the same
trust
thing
us.
To them, so Archer, the guy in the case, sued Coinbase based on their failure and refusal to allow him to receive his Bitcoin Gold currency and Coinbase's retention of control over his Bitcoin Gold. Because even though that was their reason for not supporting it, they still got the Bitcoin Gold. Anything you put in these exchanges, try your best to not hold it there. You know, if you feel, I understand why people use exchanges because they're convenient. It's a way to change a thing from one thing to another. But if once you're done changing the thing from one thing to another, get the other thing out.
Yes.
Take it out to your own wallet that you have control over. Otherwise, they'll do what they want.
And it's not just, you know, the risk from the cryptocurrency exchange themselves, but the risk of government having direct access to the information that the cryptocurrency exchange has.
Correct. And that was the original story we were going to talk
about.
Yeah,
that's what we're dealing with here, where Kraken is being pursued by the IRS.
One of the largest, if not the largest, I mean, it's a huge domestic exchange in the United States.
And I thought Kraken had fought this battle with the IRS before.
No, Coinbase did.
I thought they did it at the same time.
I don't recall that.
And that Kraken was like, no, screw you, we're not playing your games.
I believe that was what Coinbase said, so I think that... This is essentially a retread of the story that happened with Coinbase. So a few years ago, the IRS sent a notice to Coinbase saying, we want data on all of your customers who have purchased cryptocurrency from X year to Y year.
Which is the widest warrant I've ever heard of. All of your customers.
Coinbase fought it, and ultimately the decision was made in the court that the IRS was only allowed to get customers that had more than $20,000 worth of crypto exchanged at Coinbase.
Just pick a number at random, I guess. So Kraken is officially a bank?
As I understand it, yeah. Here's the press release.
I hate when I'm right. Actually, I like when I'm right, but I wish I wasn't right about this.
You mean your prediction that the exchanges are becoming the new banks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now Kraken is literally a bank.
Literally, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
From justice.gov, their Department of Justice press release issued Wednesday, May 5th, a federal court in the Northern District of California entered an order today authorizing the IRS to serve a John Doe summons on Payward Ventures Incorporated and subsidiaries, DBA Kraken, seeking information about U.S. taxpayers who conducted at least the equivalent of $20,000 worth of transactions in cryptocurrency during the years 2016 to 2020. So that means that if you only did $5,000 a year, then you would qualify under this particular summons.
Oh, yeah. This is broad.
Yeah. The IRS is seeking the records of Americans who engaged in business with or through Kraken, a digital currency exchanger headquartered in San Francisco, California. Gathering the information in the summons approved today is an important step to ensure cryptocurrency owners are following the tax laws.
No one can follow the tax laws.
If you get a quote-unquote capital gain on the cryptocurrency, then that's taxable. Which would mean that somehow you'd have to be able to track, and I believe this is an impossibility, but you'd have to be able to track the amount at which you, if you bought the crypto, because a lot of us just earned it.
Sure.
It was donated to us or whatever. If you bought the crypto at a certain price, and then you sold the crypto at a different price, and the price at which you sold is higher than the price at which you bought, technically that's a capital gain, and then you have to pay taxes on whatever that gain is.
That would be impossible for someone to calculate if they're buying $20 of cryptocurrency each week.
Every week. Or, you know, on occasion, not even knowing how much you're buying at any given time. You know, maybe it's $100 this week or $50 another week or whatever, and you don't keep track of it. And how could you possibly keep track of it? And also, how do you know when you look at your Bitcoin wallet, you know, if you've been buying Bitcoin over, this is 2016 to 2020 is what they want to get out of Kraken here. So if you're buying Bitcoin over two or four of those years or whatever, and you've accumulated, you know, a whole Bitcoin in that amount of time, and then they come and they say, then you sold some of it. Well, how do you know if you sold the Bitcoin that you bought back in 2016?
True.
Versus, because again, if you only sold a tenth of the Bitcoin, was it the 10th that you bought in the first year that you were buying Bitcoin over the first 6 months? Or was it the 10th from the last 6 months? Or I mean, the average user would have no way of knowing that. And I'm an above average user, and I would have no way of knowing that.
Do you have to have an alternative lifestyle to use Bitcoin?
What does that even mean?
So, like the BI in the...
the what?
The BI, the buy, the BI in the Bitcoin.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear what he said, so I put him on hold for a second. You're still with us, Mike.
Huh?
I don't think he's actually still with us. So, but
funny.
Yeah. Bitcoin is definitely, it's an alternative thing.
Coin. It's not a buy coin only for bisexuals or alternative sexual lifestyles. No, we don't even know what Satoshi Nakamoto's sexual preferences were. We don't even know whether Satoshi is a he or a she.
But, you know, he mentions alternative lifestyles, and you kind of do have to have an alternative lifestyle in order to use cryptocurrency because
what do you mean?
It is outside of the mainstream lifestyle. to spend cryptocurrency, to acquire it, to use it to buy things. That is an alternative lifestyle. It's not an alternative lifestyle in the way that people generally mean it, but you are operating a lifestyle outside of what most people would consider to be normal. If you're getting paid in cryptocurrency and using it to pay all your bills, then you're living an alternative lifestyle. Get your Bitcoin now before, you know, 50% of people in the U.S. or in the world have a demand for it, because by then, who knows what the value of Bitcoin would be. I'm sure there's some sort of calculus one could do to get some sort of
estimate.
general estimate, but millions probably?
I mean, it's not unreasonable to say it's going to go over 100,000 at some point. I think a lot of people believe
certain.
That. 500,000, I think, is what John McAfee was predicting at some point before he came to an untimely supposed demise.
No, it's all a hoax so that he didn't have to eat a certain part of his body.
Well, he had already reneged on that prior to going to jail.
Sure. I still like saying it as a joke, though. It's all just an elaborate conspiracy so he didn't have to eat any parts of his body.
So, you know, the IRS, they're demanding that Kraken hand over this information. And according to an article on Forbes about this, which came out about a week later, the request is looking for certain information of the users of Kraken who have done over $20,000 worth of trades in 4 years worth of time, including name, taxpayer ID number, date of birth, physical address, telephone number, and email address. For cryptocurrency investors who have unreported crypto, whether in an account with Kraken or anywhere else, the IRS is looking for you. I don't like the idea of being mean to somebody necessarily, but at the same time, looks like these people who are the vaccine people are not being very, very nice. In fact, some of them are actually out there calling for forced vaccinations against the unvaxxed. There's all this talk at the at the government level of the government gangsters that are making speeches or whatever they're saying. And the media is also clamoring for this. They're saying it's a, quote, pandemic of the unvaccinated now. So the unvaccinated are the pandemic now.
But that's demonstrably not the case, no matter how many times they say it.
Well, they're going to keep saying it because, you know, the old rule of propaganda, I think it was Hermann Goebbels or Joseph Goebbels or whatever his name was from the Nazis. You know, I think he was famous for saying that if you say a thing, you know, often enough, people will start to believe that it's true. So that's really all they have to do. You can throw out all your evidence, as we did in the first hour of the show, that shows that, you know, there's a bunch of people who have the vaccine and are getting sick still. They're still coming down with COVID. Now they're changing all the rules again to say that, you know, now you've got to wear masks and
I mean, the CDC has all but admitted that the vaccine is ineffective against the Delta variant. And for anyone who knows anything about biology, the entire reason that the Delta variant is so prominent in the first place is because we have all these vaccinated people running around that are immune to all of the other strains we've seen. So that leaves only the Delta variant to break through their vaccine.
You've heard a lot of praise for Florida. Oh, it's the freest state with, you know, COVID crackdown rules or whatever. Well, according to Free State NH, Florida, which purportedly banned vaccine passports, actually passed a bill that allows for forced vaccinations.
Oh, no.
So be careful what you, you're getting in these political packages, unless you're reading the whole thing.
Yeah, for those who aren't aware, what this basically means is that New Hampshire just outlawed vaccination passports.
That's
and
right.
And they made it illegal for the government to force you to get the vaccine.
Now, there's still a way it could come into play, right? Like if the corporations do it. Well, then it's not the government. And so,
sure.
You know, so New Hampshire's government cannot force a vaccination passport. So that's all that they can do, I guess, in this particular case. They're not going to be able to tell a private company what they can't do, right? Or what they can do.
Well, they do it all the time.
But in this case, they're not going to, because they will likely lose that court case.
Yeah.
So a private company does have the right.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, they're going to have the right to make this discriminatory choice if that's what they decide to do. But hopefully this will, at the very least, protect us from a state mandated thing. So that's some good news.
Which at least, yeah, that's good news.
Can we expect Bonnie on any of these by any chance in the future?
I doubt it, and that is based on what Bonnie has told me. Yeah, and so the reason for that is, of course, well, you know, as you know, the internet is a very permanent place, and there are a lot of creepy, creepy guys. She specifically named Dave from New York as an example of a particularly creepy individual who, you know, you never know what those people are going to do with those things. And, you know, I wish that people didn't care about these sorts of things. I wish toplessness was as unremarkable as somebody wearing a top and that it wasn't a big deal. But the reality,
I agree entirely.
The reality is, for some people, it's still a big deal out there, and there's some very, very disturbed individuals out there. So I can't say that I disagree with her on this. Bonnie's a very beautiful young lady, and I think she's making the right choice.
So I got one other question about it. Is this more for attention and, you know, let's draw attention to Free Talk Live, or is this more of like a women's rights thing, or is it both, or can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what's the purpose, I guess?
Well, it's all of the above, honestly. I mean, I am a troll at heart, but you can troll and still have a purpose behind doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. Yes, the initial idea was to troll Twitch and DLive and all of these other mainstream video platforms, but it was also to point out that, you know, we did get suspended from Twitch back when I did a topless show called Aria Uncensored.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.